Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Hello, Wisconsin, and welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. Today is Tuesday, November 7, 2017. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. It is terrific to have you along with us today, and I'd also like to welcome into the program at this time Samantha Hilker. Hi, Samantha. Thanks for being a part of the
show
today.
Good morning, Joe.
Terrific to have you with us. Yeah, there's been a lot of announcements regarding the association. The association had its board of directors meeting last week on November 2nd. And a lot of leadership changes were announced. Some voting took place regarding contracts and board leadership positions. And Samantha, we're real privileged to have you be a part of the Professional Ambulance Association. Samantha is going to be doing the content and podcasts for us starting in 2018. So this is, in a way, your debut program. So welcome. Although you were a guest a few months ago with us, so you're a seasoned professional now. You're ordained. So. But welcome.
Well, thank you. I look forward to 2018.
Yes, and Samantha's done a terrific job laying out the year with programs and content. So make sure to stay close to the PAW organization and tune into Samantha's programs as those move forward. But it's terrific to have you a part of the program today as well. And we're talking about something that happened last week on Wednesday, November 1st. It was the very first event for Wisconsin EMS Legislative Day at the state capitol in Madison, and pleasantly surprised to know that over 100 people participated in the day's events. We'll be chatting with newly elected president for the PAW organization, Dana Seckler. Dana is also the director in chief at Baraboo District Ambulance and also the executive director at the Wisconsin Rural Health. John Ike is joining us. Both were very instrumental, as well as a team of others, in organizing Wisconsin EMS Legislative Day. You know what was interesting, though? The day before the EMS Legislative Day on Tuesday, October 31, this was, community paramedicine was unanimously passed without one single nay vote in the Senate. And again, that was on October 31st. And that was very, very encouraging. I mean, how many times in government do you hear that there's not one nay vote? And that was also the story in the Assembly. So community paramedicine in Wisconsin is one signature away from becoming a reality. It is with Governor Walker, and we're very confident the governor will sign based on the actions of the Senate and Assembly. So that is the community paramedicine bill. Samantha, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, super exciting, and you really couldn't ask for better timing on that bill passing through the Senate the day before the inaugural EMS at the Capitol Day. It was a really great opportunity to start the day off with a celebration and really let all the participants see the power of coming together and getting in front of your legislators and elected officials and helping them understand what's important to us in EMS.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I fully agree. What a great way to come into meetings and to have a real positive to talk about and a thank you to go along with that. This was a very powerful day. Just to put it in perspective, again, over 100 participants of the state senators. There's 33 state senators. The EMS group has 31 state senator meetings out of 33 potential. And in the state assembly, there were 57 meetings out of 98 state assembly representatives. So that just puts everything into perspective. Today's program will run 30 minutes. It's sponsored today by Astia Health, JMB Medical, and Godfrey and Kahn. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. Stay with us. Our guests, Dana and John, Samantha will continue after this brief break. Thank you. Stay with us.
I'm Dr. Alex Summers, an EMS Medical Director and CEO of Astia Health, and I'm excited to introduce you to the next frontier of healthcare delivery solutions. At Astia Health, we are leading the way in utilizing cutting-edge technology to provide the missing link between community paramedicine providers and higher levels of care. Our innovative solution combines our proprietary software with our custom-built access to care telemedicine cases. These cases facilitate a comprehensive virtual examination, allowing a hospital-grade evaluation to be performed in the field. I look forward to helping you incorporate this solution into your business. Astia Health, access to quality healthcare anytime, anywhere. Look us up on the web at astiahealth.com or call us toll-free at 888-885-4434.
J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Thibault at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margins.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Covelli. I'm joined by Samantha Hilker. And we'd also like to welcome in at this time Dana Seckler and John Eich. Gentlemen, hello and welcome to the program. Thank you for being a part of it today.
Our pleasure.
Good morning, Joe and Samantha. Thanks for the invite and nice to be here.
Absolutely, President Seckler. Nice to have you with us, too, and Mr. Eich. So, gentlemen, congratulations on a very successful event. I want to turn things over to Samantha. I know she's got a lot of things that she'd like to get into with you. And Samantha, of course, was at last week's event. So, Samantha, go ahead.
So, Dana, why don't you give us, or can you give us, a little bit of an overview of EMS at the Capitol Day? What was it all about? And what was the goal of the day?
Thanks, Samantha. The goal was to have all the stakeholder groups in Wisconsin that are associated with emergency medical services finally get on the same page and present a unified message, a unified discussion and talking points with the legislators for pertinent laws or rules or regulations or whatever it is that they're working on so that we actually see a benefit or enhancement to EMS. Over the past few years, there's been several laws that have been passed and that have certainly been controversial. Some people really like the way the law was written and they really like how it was passed. Other people are experiencing an extreme detriment to it, and it's starting to further impact how EMS is delivered in Wisconsin. On top of that, we are experiencing delivery issues within the EMS system. There are departments that are having staffing problems, and they're struggling to get people to show up to scenes, to emergency calls. And so the goal of this is to start talking with legislators about what they can do at the state level to help EMS out in Wisconsin. The idea actually started at least 5 years ago when a couple of the leaders from PAW and from the Professional Firefighters Association had sat down for a meeting and they just said, hey, you know, we should start working together on things because certain laws have been passed and no one had called up WMSA. No one had called up PAW, no one had called up the Fire Chiefs Association, and no one had called up the professional firefighters to find out how the proposed bills would actually affect EMS out in the field. And so certain things were passed. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Certain bills were passed without stakeholder input. So that seed germinated way back about 5 years ago. And then after John and I sat on the legislative study committee, we talked afterwards, and John said, you know, we should stay proactive with this and develop some type of group that we could actually get together and start making a positive influence. So I said, great, why don't you be the neutral party through the Office of Rural Health, and let's get buy-in from PAW, from WMSA, from PFFW, and from the state fire chiefs, and let's start working on some items that we all can agree upon and that we all can unite on and that we all can present a unified message to our legislators.
And that obviously worked. John did a great job of facilitating and getting all of the stakeholder groups together because we had, as Joe mentioned, over 100 attendees that day, which is great for a first-year event. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned, you know, certain bills had passed, legislative initiatives. What were the specific things that, or the specific items that were discussed that day or that we met with legislators about?
Sure. Each legislator that we met with actually received a packet of information. And on the one side of the packet was just a kind of a brochure that talked about what EMS was, the different definitions of the various levels, how many calls that we go on an average day, month, or year, the percentage of EMS personnel that are out there. And actually, I might let John talk a little bit about that since his office, Office of Rural Health, actually developed that. On the other side of our folder that we handed out was a cover letter. And we just said, from this point forward, we'd greatly appreciate it if you could talk to us about not just the bills we're going to present today, but any future bills that have to do with fire and EMS. And we gave them the contact information for the various leadership within each of the organizations. And I do want to mention, on all the items that we passed out, we put the logos for PAW, Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, Wisconsin EMS, and the Fire Chiefs Association. And that's the first time in the knowledge that I'm aware of that all those organizations were willing to put all their logos together and present a unified message. Along with that, we worked with the chair of the governor-appointed Wisconsin EMS board, they're not really in a position to lobby, but they certainly offer advice on all the different EMS topics, and they certainly can be contacted by the legislators. So one of the items that we initially were going to talk about was community EMS, and it had already gotten passed unanimously by the senators the day before. So that was more of a, hey, thank you. We do appreciate this. This has been, I think we worked on that law for either 5 years or 7 years, and we finally got it through both houses, the Assembly and the Senate, and it passed unanimously in both houses, which I thought was kind of impressive. I'm not sure how many other bills get through unanimously, but ours did.
Which is definitely a celebration. And so on that line, I think the next question for the listeners out there and for EMS services in Wisconsin in general is community EMS, community paramedicine, it passed. It's just waiting for that last signature from Governor Walker. What does that mean for me as an EMS service director?
Well, it means you can start getting ready if you haven't done so already. There are certainly several services out there that are doing pilot programs. It does not mean that it's actually passed yet, as you said. It still needs the signature of Governor Walker. From there, it actually goes over to DHS, and specifically it should go to the Office of EMS, and they're going to now develop rules and regulations. So right now we have DHS 110 and has all the various points underneath it. So this is now going to add some subpoints into DHS 110, and it will give the guidelines on what community EMS will be. So what their intent will be is to set up minimum training standards and minimum education standards. So should it be this many hours or that many hours? And then they're going to identify how many hours it should be at each level. They should then identify some continuing education, and then they probably will define some scopes of practice within each of those levels. So it's still going to be a little while before we actually get to start practicing, but stay tuned. They'll probably have some public hearings on that. People will be able to start saying, what can we do to participate in this? What things can we do at each EMS level? And I guess stay tuned, because Paul will do our best to bring up-to-date information on when those public hearings or when those discussions are occurring for the rulemaking process.
very exciting. And just to touch a little bit on some of the other bills that were discussed with the representatives and senators that day, John, did you want to talk a little bit about the bill the Office of Rural Health initiated?
So to be clear, the Office of Rural Health didn't initiate any legislation because we're not allowed to do that. But Dana and I, as he pointed out, sat on the Legislative Study Committee last summer. And from that, several bills were thought out. And then some of them turned into legislation, and some of them went even further through the legislature, through committees. And so two of those were tax incentives for volunteers, both EMS and fire. And so there were two forms of that. One was to give a tax credit at the end of the year, or I should say the end of the federal fiscal year, for hours spent. And another was to give tax credits for expenses that were incurred while working on a volunteer service. Both of those have... were sort of turned into a version of a bill at the Senate level and then have sat. So that was something that folks were talking with their legislators about, trying to get those moving forward. And then the third piece was the levy limits. And this, I think, levy limits and also the next step for community EMS, which is, this is great. Now it exists as a legal name, so to speak, or role, but what about reimbursement? So that's the heavy lifting, and I think that is the reason that you saw the four associations coming together, because I think that all of those associations have worked very hard, very diligently on getting awareness raised and legislation started, but it feels like they're just not listening enough. And so where single voices weren't being heard, it was thought that, you know, four voices together would be much louder and they would take it more seriously. And it seemed like that worked. You know, certainly the news coverage was great. The feedback we heard from the visits that happened, where people reported back after they met with their senators and representatives and said the meetings went great. They were excited about all of us coming through. They were asking who we were and what this was. They liked the folders that we handed out. So I think it was a great start, and it's we need to capitalize and continue that momentum and move forward as shared voices, because now we're getting into these heavier lifting requirements. So like levy limits, trying to say if it is public safety, there should be no limit levy limit incurred. If the local community wants to spend their own money on it, then we should the state should get out of the way. So that was an ask. I think the points for this were, first, we want the legislators and their staff to know that EMS, all those doing EMS, are united behind these areas, that we're working together on this and sort of hear us roar. The second was, here's some asks we have at the moment, and stay tuned for later. And so that's the conversation moving forward, is where do we go from here? We had a great event. It was great to see people. I thought it was exciting to see how excited people were about this. You know, I think it showed that people from all over the state, from rural and urban areas both, whether doing fire EMS or municipal EMS or private EMS, all of them came together, went to their sometimes even by themselves to a legislator's office, and came out with a big grin and said, that was fun. And so we can do more of that. There are 18,000 registered providers of EMS in the state, 18,000. 100 is a great start, but watch us grow.
Agreed. And that message of a unified voice being more powerful than a singular voice was definitely one that was echoed back to us through the representatives and the senators and the individual attendees, like you said, coming in and out of those meetings and kind of having that expression, that feeling of pride in that expression, that it was actually fun to go in and learn from each other and have that conversation with the elected official.
Exactly. And I want to say, you know, I just a shout out to PAW and specifically to Dana for doing a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes. So Dana has a full-time job running the Baraboo EMS service. He's doing a lot there. But at the same time, he found a tremendous amount of extra time, whether that was evenings or weekends or lunch break, to really work on the issue papers, to make contacts. The AAA, the American Ambulance Association, joined us from Washington, D.C., came all that way, printed off folders and handouts, and were very helpful. PAW did a lot for this effort to make it work, and they were excellent partners, and I'm excited to see that continued relationship moving forward.
Excellent. And I think we have a break scheduled, Joe. Excellent. So we'll come back and talk more about the big picture and what this means for EMS then.
Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We're talking with Dana Seckler and John Ike, both instrumental in organizing the first Wisconsin EMS Legislative Day at the state capitol. Samantha, you're doing a terrific job. I know we've got a few more questions for our guests, and so please go ahead.
We talked a lot about before the break the individual initiatives and a few mentions about this being really the first time that these four stakeholder groups really came together to have a unified voice. I want to talk a little bit more about that and how and why that is so important for EMS in Wisconsin. And do one of you want to talk a little bit about what it took to kind of get this together?
I can start, and John, you can jump in as you see fit. The first answer to that is one-on-one FaceTime and conversations. Just a lot of informal talking on, hey, we all do EMS from different viewpoints. Some are fire-based, some are hospital-based, some are third-party service, some are county-wide, some are private. But at the end of the day, we all do EMS. Can we look at everything that we agree on and concentrate on that and then let the other part, you know, not forget about it, not argue about it, but just put it to the side so that we can concentrate on the other? And we all agreed that basically, you know, round numbers, somewhere between 90 to 95% of everything that we do, we all agree upon. We all agree for training and education and standards within EMS. We want safety and we want good pay. We want to be recognized within the community for what we do. We want to, you know, have excellent patient care, high quality patient care, no matter which level that we're providing those services at. And so we agreed that between 90 to 95% of everything that we do is we can agree on. And that leaves 5 or 10% that we'll let the individual organizations discuss on their own or discuss privately with the legislators. So it was just the idea of let's concentrate on the 90%. And I want to say that those groups, you know, included people from PAW. Patrick Ryan was the then president, and he had a lot of discussions with the PFFW. So Malin Mitchell is the president, and he had discussions with him. Jerry Biggert was the vice president, and he concentrates on EMS within the PFFW, as well as he sits as the chair of the governor-appointed Wisconsin Advisory Board. So those discussions took place. And we finally had a reason, because certain laws were being passed and no one was being contacted to say, do you like this law? Do you not like this law? Is there a way we could tweak it to make it even better? None of the stakeholder groups were getting asked, what's your opinion? So that was kind of the impetus to say, we've already started talking about this. We already know that we agree on it. Let's get going and let's start working together. So again, when after the legislative study committee was completed, John had volunteered to be the entity that kind of coordinated and brought all our groups together. We also then included the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs Association, and John Cohen was very instrumental in working there. We had already been talking with WMSA. Mark Cohen is the new executive director, and he jumped on board along with Josh Kowalki as the president of WMSA. So we had all these great leaders meeting together in one room talking about the 90% that they agreed upon and how we can push that message forward to all the people within the state of Wisconsin.
And like you said, this really was kind of put into motion 5 or 6 years ago, and it just kind of took that long to get it to this place, and it took the right leaders being in the right place at the right time with kind of a same vision of a unified voice for EMS, correct?
That's correct. And the results are, go ahead, we have the community EMS bill that has passed.
Yeah, and I would say, too, I think there was some fire added through this legislative study committee. You know, that was, I think, the first time in a while when the legislature turned to EMS and said, to EMS and fire and said, all right, tell us your story. And boy, did people come out to tell us their story. There was a ton of testimony, and I think it was impactful. It made a really made an impression on the legislators, so much so that they felt moved to create a bunch of legislation after that, which is great. However, there were some minor details, what I would say could have been minor details about that legislation that could have been changed to make it better. Unfortunately, they weren't. So that, you know, that's politics, and it's various legislators tried and didn't really pass, didn't work. But we want to say thank you to legislators for giving it the college try, so to speak. And we just ask that they consult with the experts, these four associations, and the EMS board moving forward. I want to say, too, you know, I think an important member of that group was Jennifer Smith, who works out of Gunderson. So I think the relationship to hospitals, whether or not a service is connected to the hospital, just the relationship with hospitals and the hospital association is an important factor moving forward. The community EMS only moved forward because the hospital association was willing to if not weigh in favorably, at least be neutral. There was a lot of negotiations on the front side, and I think Patrick Ryan was part of a lot of that. So that's good. We've established a positive relationship, and those are the kind of relationships that, as a unified voice, as a unified force, we can move forward together with other external partners who don't do EMS necessarily and get more done with them.
And if we stay consistent,
Go ahead, Samantha.
I was just going to say, if we stay consistent as an industry, we keep this unified voice, we keep this momentum going, we can continue to develop those relationships with partners such as hospitals, the American Heart Association, other organizations, the more reliably we would think that legislators and representatives would reach out to us and ask us questions if something should land on their desk, EMS-related, that they don't know the opinion on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the past there have been this sense of they get one story on Monday and then another story on Wednesday, and they tend to throw up their hands when that sort of thing happens because they say, well, you know, if you all can't get on the same page, then how can you expect us to pass legislation that feels good to everybody else? So, Dana, you were going to say?
Right along the same lines with the external stakeholders that we certainly want to be inclusive and not exclusive. One that jumped on towards the end, just because they we didn't not want them, we were happy to have them come on board, was American Heart Association. We had gotten contacted by Nicole to they had just sent out a proposal a couple weeks earlier, so she called us up and said, is there any way you could squeeze this into when all your people are going around? And so it had to do with educating about how dispatchers could help with a 911 call when CPR is needed, and they can actually give CPR instructions right over the phone. So it was talking about possibilities of having that expand in the state of Wisconsin. So that happened almost last minute. And then the other organization that I certainly wanted to mention was the American Ambulance Association. American Ambulance Association is a national group of ambulances and companies, and they are based right outside of Washington, D.C. They do, similar to what we just did, they do EMS Days on the Hill. They do Stars of Life on the Hill. They get the message to the legislators at the federal level in Washington, D.C. They were so excited about this event that they actually flew out their office administrator and their executive director to work with PAW and also to be there for that day, for the EMS Legislative Day. Both of them were there. And we asked, where do we stand on the national front? Is this what other states are doing? Are we average? Are we below average? Are we ahead of the curve? And they said the reason we're here is to gain information to create this model, because to the best of our knowledge, this is the first state where all these organizations have come together as one voice, and we want to see it be successful, and we want to take that model to encourage other states to start doing the same thing that we just did. So that was great. I loved hearing that, and I hope that we can be a model for future states to follow as issues related to public safety, fire, and EMS continue to grow.
This is all extremely exciting, and it's nice to have something positive to talk about instead of all the negative news stories, particularly with public safety, that are out there a lot now. And I know we're coming up on time, and this is a topic that we could talk about for hours. But I want to wrap up a couple of key points, one being that this wouldn't have happened with a singular association or a singular entity. It really needed to be everybody coming together with a common goal, the four associations, the Office of Rural Health Support and Leadership in there, the support of the governor-appointed EMS board, the American Ambulance Association, and all the individual members of those associations who are really showing up last week to support this initiative. And John, you mentioned something I want to circle back to a little bit, that you wanted to say thank you to the legislators. And that's something we also heard that day, alongside the message of how important a unified voice is. They also talked about how important it is for everyone to get in front of their legislators and have a conversation, both when things are good and to say thank you when things go the way you want, not just to call them every time something is wrong. Maybe we can wrap up the conversation with, how can you, on an individual or association level, how can people start getting more involved in this type of initiative?
Yeah, so during the morning sessions where folks went through the issue papers and taught about how to advocate, Forbes McIntosh, who's a professional lobbyist for WMSA, he gave that presentation along with Dana. And one of the things he mentioned, I thought, was how important he feels his job is about relationships. And so going into an office, meeting with a staff person, putting a face to the name, really helps start that relationship, because then you can call in a month later or a week later when something comes up and say, hey, you know, I was just there last month, met with so-and-so, and I just wanted to say, and so that immediately ties you into, oh, okay, this is someone who is involved. And I think these are the kind of relationships that big business have, that folks like hospitals have. Again, these kind of like larger industry that we think about, the movers and shakers, this is the kind of relationship that EMS services, that EMS providers can have with their legislators, because the legislators are there, they're representing their constituents, and that's you all. And so coming into Madison, you know, taking the time to drive, and you especially saw this with the legislators from further flung districts, they said, wow, they're you know, three of them are coming down, four of them are coming down, driving the 5 hours in. This is fantastic. It makes an impression. And so you become the constituent that they can turn to for advice. So if a bill does come up, in addition to reaching out to the leadership, they may have their person in their district, and that can be you. And so building those relationships, whether it's a visit or a call or a letter, whatever it may be, these are important ways that politics happens, that legislation gets passed through these relationships that are built over time.
Excellent. Thank you. And there are definitely resources out there, and we'll have a link on the Paul website as well, for where people can go, an interactive map to find out who their representatives are if they're not already aware of that.
Fantastic.
I think we're at time, Joe. Am I right?
We're at that point. If you'd like to finish things up, that's fine. What an excellent conversation. Thank you, Samantha, for leading that. And John and Dana, again, our congratulations on a successful event. Thank you for the talking points and giving us a behind-the-scenes look as to how things were organized, kind of the laying the foundation, the execution, and then the ultimately the results, which were very favorable. We have posted some photos on the PAW Facebook page, and I'd kindly refer you to the Facebook page for PAW to look at some of the photos from the day's activities, starting in the morning with the roundtable, or starting in the morning with hearing from some legislative leaders on the importance of connecting with your local legislator, and then also the work of lobbying 101. I think a lot of people, when they get involved in EMS, obviously think about patient care first and delivering quality patient care without really giving much thought to how we can further the industry through meeting with our local legislators, and that's involved with lobbying, but I don't like to look at it that way. I think it's more about telling stories, and people can identify with that. So thank you all for being a part of today's program. Very informative and very helpful in carrying the message forward.
Thanks for inviting us.
Mm-hmm. You're very
thanks
welcome.
Thanks for the invite, and thanks for letting us share our story.
Yep, and you're more than welcome to come back again. And Samantha, we look forward to future podcasts with you as well.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Sure. I wanted to mention that our next podcast is on Tuesday, November 14th, a week from today. It's starting at 9 o'clock. Our guest is going to be Dan Williams. Dan, of course, is a co-host on this program, been involved in EMS for over 40 years as former state EMS director also. Dan is looking into new ventures, and that includes EMS billing compliance, or compliance in general. He was recently at a national conference. He's come back with a lot of information, and he's looks forward to sharing that with us. So we'll give Dan the platform on sharing EMS compliance, something that every ambulance service director should be cognizant of, and how the rules and regulations continue to change in that world. Our intent is really to help people stay out of trouble to do the right things and to have a good, solid foundation from which they operate. EMS Live in Wisconsin is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. We really appreciate you listening to today's program. We invite you to share your comments with us at emslive@paw.us. That is our email address. And for further downloads on this program, you can always refer to the PAW homepage at paaw.us. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you for listening.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.